What comes to the forefront of your mind as you think about the biblical Christmas story? Well, perhaps what comes to your mind is kind of the what happened at Christmas. Bethlehem, some 2,000 years ago, right? The what? The baby, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. All the things you see on Christmas postcards and perhaps lawn ornaments this kind of year. I call these the what of Christmas. When answering, few consider the why of Christmas. Why a baby? Why was good news needed to be spoken over the world? Well, why? Christmas is about a living and loving God needing to come to tell everybody that things are not okay in the world. Christmas is about needing to shine. Christmas is about God needing to shine his clear, bright light into the darkness of our world, a light that shines upon much despair in many people's lives. Christmas is about God needing to light a lamp in this darkness and again shedding light on a much needed new way of love, life, and living. Why Christmas? Simply stated, God is taking the lead, saying things are not good, things need to change, things can change. Well, what about the how of Christmas? How did this come to pass? At the appointed time when things were dark and discouraging, God became flesh so he could come to the world to remake the world. And so the hope of Christmas is that the world that was made by him can now also be remade by him. The what, the why, and the how of Christmas. We see that in the first Christmas, as noted in the Bible. And as we review this Christmas story, we read that that big announcement at Christmas begins with where people were at. The message was, fear not. Addressing this fear is the why of Christmas. Christmas being a reminder that God saw a world that was full of fear, people suffering because of circumstances in their lives and all broken relationships that they found themselves in. I wonder if angels were to appear this Christmas, 2023, with one message. Perhaps the message would be the same as that very first message, fear not. We perhaps can all imagine how well received this would be based on the things that we know happening in the world today. Hearing a message to fear not may be very well received, for it's much needed. For example, a message of fear not being heard by a family living in poverty, even in some parts of the world without clean water. A message of fear not being heard by a father on the front line of a battlefield today, many miles from home. Fear not being heard by an orphan in a foster home or an orphanage who has no belongings of their own. A message of fear not to someone who is a prisoner of war today with no one advocating. And of course, so many other needs in the world where a message of fear not would be warmly received. Fear not. We should remind ourselves that this was never God's plan. What do I mean? It was never God's plan to ever have to say, fear not. We are so far from our human beginning in the Garden of Eden. Yet, decisions and choices mankind have made and continue to make lead along a path that creates tremendous vulnerability. And so the message of fear not isn't now a necessary message. In the first Christmas story recorded in Luke 1 and Matthew 1, who was afraid? Well, the simple answer is most everyone. Fear played a significant role in the lives of each of the main characters, the who of Christmas, or the what of Christmas, Zechariah, Mary, and Joseph. whose lives were in full trepidation, doubt, and uncertainty, and in much need of hearing a fear not message. That is why the angels began, when they visited these three individuals, began with this proclamation or announcement, do not be afraid. While we cannot fully comprehend the men and women's fears that first Christmas, we can relate to perhaps why they feared. For we read about fear from unanswered prayer, fear from unexpected events, and fear from an uncertain future. Let's talk about them. The fear of Zechariah arises because of a fear of unanswered prayer. What danger did he feel? He felt forgotten. Luke 1:13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Again, what danger did he feel? He felt neglected. What was going on? Zechariah was a priest whose wife's name was Elizabeth. They are a much older couple, righteous and childless. And Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed fervently for years for a child, but had given up hope as their years passed. And so in Luke 1, we read how Zechariah was faithfully going about his ordinary priestly responsibilities, and an extraordinary event happens when he is chosen to enter the temple and offer incense offering. So while fulfilling his duty, he receives a declaration from an angel of the Lord telling him that he and Elizabeth would bear a son. And later in Luke chapter 1, their son, whom they named John the Baptist, is born. The fear of unanswered prayer. Some of our greatest fears center around unanswered prayer. We pray for God to restore a relationship. We pray for freedom from addiction, suffering, and pain. We pray for the salvation of a spouse or child, loved one. We pray for mental, emotional, and physical healing. We pray for the needs represented today in war and conflict. We pray for change in our land. It sure is easy to lose hope when our prayers seem to go nowhere, especially unanswered prayers for a long time. And when you feel neglected by God, as Zechariah did, it can become a very dark time when God seems to be withholding and resisting, when God seems to be this kind of no-show. After years of praying, it's easy to get discouraged, to be fearful if things don't change. As we move along with unanswered prayer, there's typically four responses. Number one, we turn inward. What's wrong with me? We think that maybe our prayers are hitting a ceiling and not reaching God's. We ask ourselves if we lack faith or if obedience is part of our character. We turn inward. We turn upward. What's wrong with God? Or even worse, does God hear our prayers yet refuses to answer? Can lead to huge amounts of resentment and bitterness. And sometimes we turn downward in the sense that we stop praying or even change our prayers. But what if there's nothing wrong with me? And what if there's nothing wrong with God? And what if the need is to keep praying, as the Bible says, praying without ceasing? Perhaps the prayer, appropriate prayer, on this first Sunday of Advent is to say, God, give me hope. Give me hope as I live with unanswered prayers. Zechariah's fear arose because he felt forgotten, but he wasn't. And nor are you. And certainly at this time of year, prayers are in front of us. 2 Peter chapter 3:9 reminds us in those waiting periods to be a trusting person. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, we're encouraged by the activity of rejoicing always, praying continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So we fear not. And we are asked by Scripture to remember that God is with us and that we are to keep praying and that we're not forgotten by God. He's with us. He's near to us. So fear not if you have unanswered prayers today. Secondly, the fear of Mary arises because of an unexpected event. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 34. What danger did Mary feel? She felt forsaken. Zechariah felt forgotten. She felt forsaken. Luke 1, 30, the angel, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." She felt forsaken. God says, "You have my favor." When the angel appears to a young, humble teenager, the Bible tells us that Mary was confused, shaken, disturbed, troubled, and concerned, forsaken. I mean, what God unexpectedly asked Mary to do will change her life forever. Again, remember, this is a young, engaged virgin in love with the possible dreams of a wedding, a home of her own, and children. And God breaks into this scene and asks her to do the unimaginable, which is trust him with the impossible. What an unexpected event that created the trajectory of a new way and a new day. Perhaps this year has brought to you many unexpected things. Many unexpected things have happened in your life. Life moving in one way, and now it's not. To which you would say, perhaps, "I never saw it coming." And if you're honest, would say, "It wouldn't be how I would write the script." While Mary was forsaken, her feelings were real, her fear was real, but her faith drew up some real truths about who God was and how God was watching over her life for good and for not for evil. And perhaps, friends, some of you need to hear that message as well today, that you're not forsaken, you're not forgotten, that God is with you, and his plans for you, perhaps unknown at this point, are for good and not for evil. So Mary, she overcomes her fear with acceptance. Accepting that she knew a good God was in control of her life and destiny, and that God would make a way for her at the appropriate time. We are to fear not and accept what will come as we allow God to lead our lives. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Perhaps that's a message for someone today. Fear not. On this first Sunday of Advent, receive hope. Life, yes, will be full of many unexpected events, but God is with you. God is with you. Thirdly, the fear of Joseph arises because of an unknown future. Matthew 1, verses 18 to 21. Well, what danger did Joseph feel? He felt betrayal. John 1, 20, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Joseph, engaged to Mary, and chosen to be the earthly father of Jesus, faced great fear in this Christmas story. When Joseph hears that his fiancée is pregnant, he's unsure what to think. You can imagine. He is an honorable man who wants to do the right thing, but Mary's story seems so unbelievable. Joseph is well respected, so he fears how his family and friends will respond, yet he loves Mary and wants to be with her. He is considering ending the marriage altogether until the angel appears to him and speaks directly to what is bothering him. "Fear not, Joseph. You're not forsaken." Joseph struggles with questions about an unknown future, as many of us do today. Perhaps more than ever before, We're living in a world that's full of uncertainty. Every day we seem to hear unwanted news that puts our plans on hold, threatens our health and security, and causes us to think very differently about the future. Unexpected future. We can allow this fear of the unknown to cripple and paralyze us, or we can ask God for our hope. Joseph overcame fear by way of simple obedience. Joseph listened to the angel who brought him a direct message from God, and he obeyed, not knowing the consequence of his decision. He did not fully understand, could not see the whole picture, and he doubted his next move. But he did what the angel told him to do. He did the next right thing by marrying Mary. Just like Joseph, God often asks us to walk unknown paths into an unknown future, giving us only enough light to guide the next right step. We can be confident in the God that is not forsaken and is leading us, sometimes just one small step at a time. The big message of Christmas is fear not. Fear that arises from unanswered prayer, from unexpected events, and fear that arises from an uncertain future. It was, again, never God's original plan to have his people experience fear as they live in a world that he has made. But you and I do. We live in a world that on any given day is full of events and activities and things that strike fear in our hearts and minds, often with very little notice. That is why we need Christmas. Not just appreciating the what of the historical event, but the why and the how of Christmas. Psalm 34 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. May I encourage you this Christmas. Christmas is about allowing God to see your need, to name your need perhaps, and come to deliver you in the midst of your need. So as we begin this Advent season, may I encourage you to welcome him. Be honest. Make room for him. Fear not. Fear not. And I'm confident that you won't be disappointed, for Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, up close and personal, getting involved in our lives such as they are. Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for the message of Christmas that the world needs to hear again this year, and that we need to hear again this year. We thank you that Christmas reminds us that in this world, things are not as they should be, and you've come to change things. And Lord, we would pray today for ourselves. We pray that change would begin within our lives as necessary. Remove fear, remove doubt, and may you fill our lives with hope this very day and this very season. Your word describes people that have hope, have faces and expressions that radiate the life and love of Jesus. And we would pray through the changing of our hearts that our faces, even this very day, would be radiant as dearly loved children. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. Amen and amen. Again, thank you for joining us today during Church Connect. As been shared throughout this recording, there are so many things happening at Living Waters Church. We are so thankful to be able to connect with you. This way, we'd be so thankful to be able to meet you in person at some time this week and month. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Go in with God's peace in your life.